It's wonderful to see how God works in many different ways. And during the week, as I was reflecting on what I'll be sharing with today, I saw a list of seven things, and it's a funny list, a seven things that mothers should be thankful for. The first, and I wonder if any of our mothers or others might agree with some of these, the first is an automatic dishwasher. Because you can leave the kitchen before the family comes back looking for supper. Or that mothers should be thankful for husbands who attack small jobs around the house. Because they're going to muck it up so much that you can get the professional in to do it properly. Wonder if anyone would agree with that. Or you might agree with this one. Mothers should be thankful for the bathtub. The only place in the house that you can actually be away from the whole family. Or children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. Something to be thankful for until you send them home to their real parents. Be thankful for gardening. It's a relief to deal with dirt outside of the home for a change. Are you thankful, as Liz said, for teenagers so that you could learn a second and third language? Or smoke alarms. They let you know when the dinner's done. I wonder if you'd agree with any of those funny thoughts about what mothers in this case should be thankful for. But it got me thinking as I was looking and coming to look at Psalm 116 and following on from last week, what are we thankful for? Now, being thankful is important. But reflecting on some of those comical things that dealt with children, we know that it is actually hard, isn't it, to teach children to be thankful. But I wonder if it's not just children. I wonder if we all struggle with this whole thought about being thankful. See, last week we looked at Psalm 103 and we looked at something I called the catalogue of thanksgiving, why and how and everything we could be thankful. And it was interesting at morning tea, but also during the week in talking to some folk from our church and outside of our church, how a number of people just said that as far as the world was going around or their lives, they were finding, yes, they knew they should be thankful, but it was just too hard to do. And maybe you empathize with that. You empathize with that last week. Maybe you empathize with that this morning. How good are we at being thankful? Are you thankful today? And if you say, yes, Stephen, I'm good at being thankful, a follow-up question, which may be a bit more challenging. Why are you thankful? Because I think it's important for us to know why. Because when we know why, then we can know whether we truly are doing it or not. And it tells us when we can be thankful. So today, if you are thankful, why are you thankful? Now, some of you would say, Stephen, it's obvious, God says. And when you look at Scripture, that answer's simple but right, isn't it? God says in a lot of places, be thankful. Think of 1 Thessalonians 5:18 in the New Testament. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Basically, it says that if you're a believer, most people in this room would say, yes, we love and follow Jesus. God says, be thankful in all circumstances. God says, do it. We know we should be thankful. But if I asked that question earlier, are you thankful today? And your immediate response was no. Why not? If God says we should do it, and you know in your head you should do it, but you don't feel thankful, can you start to see it is a challenge? It's not so easy just to say, yeah, God says do it, we should do it. But how do we live that out? We struggle with being thankful. And I wonder at times whether we struggle a little bit in the same way that children struggle to be thankful. You know, at times I've around Christmas time and in the last week or so, I've heard a number of children who are very thankful They're saying to their parents how thankful they are. Why? Because they think if they say they are thankful now, that at Christmas time, they might actually get more. This is Beef Week. Next Saturday, we have our parade downtown. There are stalls, there's food, there's toys. They are thankful in the last few days, hoping that their parents will give them more pocket money or something else so they could spend it next Saturday. They are thankful now because they think they can get a future benefit. Their motives are totally self-centered. I wonder at times, do we do that with thankfulness? Do we say, oh, we're thankful because we're hoping in the future we're going to get something else? I wonder, do we do that in our spiritual lives? Do we actually treat God that same way? Yes, God, I'm thankful in all circumstances. But really, we're saying that because we really hope God blesses us with even more in the future. Do we look at thankfulness like that? Now, you might say to me, Stephen, we don't do that. But let's think about the religions in the world outside of Christianity. Isn't that what they do? Their worshippers make offerings. They say thank you in various ways. Why? Because they're looking for their gods to bless them in a certain way. And their religions like that are totally self-centered, like with the children. They find it easy to do. That's their religion. We would say we wouldn't do it. But does it start to creep in? Do we treat God the same way? Going back to the question I asked a few moments ago, why, if you say you're thankful, why are you thankful? Now we know, or I think God knows, that we really struggle with this whole thought of thankfulness. So that's why Scripture talks a lot about it. We looked at Psalm 103. It talked about it. Here Psalm 116 also talks about it. And as we look at it today, I think we're going to see something that's very clear. And that is Psalm 116 tells us to be thankful means we're not self-centered. We're God-centered. Self-centered says you're thankful when you get what you want. And if you don't, you're not. God-centered says, like 1 Thessalonians 5:18, no matter what you suffer in life, the good and the bad, you can be thankful in all circumstances. So today, when we think about being thankful and whether we're thankful now and why we're thankful, are we God-centered or are we self-centered? Well, what does Psalm 116 unpack for us? Well, the background of this psalm is that it's a psalm that we don't know who wrote it, but it is a psalm that is sung every year at Passover time for the Jewish people, and they still do it today. It's one of six psalms that gets sung. They first sing Psalm 113, 114, 115. They then sit down to a meal. And then after the meal, after the Passover meal, they talk about how thankful they are to God. They remember what God has done in the past for them. They remember their beginnings when God brought them out of Egypt as he led them through Moses. And when they finish remembering that, they come to Psalm 116 and they start to sing, I love the Lord. So as we come to look at this psalm, why be God-centered? Well, let me read to you verse 1 and 2. As I read to you verse 1 and 2, and maybe you picked up on this when Kerry read it, do you have some immediate questions? Because I know I did. Let me read it to you. I love the Lord. For he heard my voice, he heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. If you can hear that and have questions, we'll get to it in just a moment. But here the psalmist says first that he can be God-centered because when he speaks or when he prays, he knows for certain that God hears. In the original language, these words give us a beautiful picture here. It's a beautiful picture that God is about his business. And when you pray, God instantly stops, turns to you and gives you his 100% attention. So wherever you are, whenever anybody is in the world, the picture here is that as soon as you pray, God turns to you and gives you 100% of his attention. He hears your prayers. I mentioned a few moments ago about the other religions in the world. None of them can say this. See, they don't even know if their gods hear them. They don't even know if their gods will answer them. They hope so, but they don't know so. But the psalmist says here, when you pray, God hears. The first step of being God-centered is knowing that he hears you. Now, there's an old saying I'm sure you all know, there are no atheists in foxholes. Now, the saying came out of the First World War where when you're in dire need and the situation is out of control, what do you want more than anything? You want to know that there is a good person who is in control. The psalmist knows that. The psalmist knows, and as the psalm went on, you know that he has struggles that he was facing. Verse 8 summarizes it. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. The psalmist can say here that even though he was suffering, he cried out to God, and God heard him. So he can focus on God. He can be God-centered because God heard him, God delivered him, God saved him. Going back when I read out the verses, did you have a question about them? See, my question when you read those verses are, there's an implication here. See, if God didn't remove his suffering, did God actually hear him? I mean, go back to the verse. It says, I love the Lord for he heard my voice. Does he only love God because he knows God heard him? So if God didn't hear him, he will not love God if he didn't think that? Or in the second verse, because he turned his ear to me, because he saw an answer to his prayer his way, the way he wanted, I will call on him as long as I live. Now, the picture here and the question that I had, it's almost saying that because he did something the way he wanted, now he follows God. But it's not the picture. See, it's easy to read it that way. But when you look down in verse 15, we read this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He's not removed from his suffering. He is saved in various ways, but he says here, even if I die, I'm still going to keep God first. I'm still going to be God-centered because I know as one of his children, I'm precious to him, even if I die. So it's not because God did this, therefore I'll love God. He loves God. He knows for certain that when he prays, that beautiful picture, God just stops and focuses 100% attention on him. Yes, I hear your prayer, and yes, I answer. But even if I die, says the psalmist, I know he answered. So does life need to be easy for us? Do we need to be free of all suffering before we can say we can be God-centered? No. So what's the psalmist's response to being God-centered? Well, we can see it in the question he asks in verse 12. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? If I asked you that question this morning, if you think of all the goodness that God has done for you, what could you do to repay him? To me, the obvious answer is nothing. I don't think we could ever achieve anything to repay God for what he's done for us. the blessings that he gives us, his own son dying on the cross so we can be his children again. But the psalmist says, well, I do respond. The little I can, I will respond. Look at verse 13. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Or down in verse 17, I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. The psalmist says, you've given me so much. I'm going to keep my focus on you, God. I know when I pray, you hear. I know when I pray, you answer. And even unto death, I will continue to follow you. And even unto death, as I live my life, I can't repay you. But my first simple step is I'm going to say thank you. Whether it's because God has heard his prayers, whether it's because God has saved him, whether it's because God blesses him in any other way, whether it's because the psalmist can take one more breath. He says, thanks, God. I thank you for it. He calls on his name. He praises his name for everything that he faces. And it's not just in words. Look at verse 9. That I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. As he lives his life for as long as he's got it, for as long as he takes breath, he will praise God, even if he's suffering. Down in verse 14 and 18, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. When it talks about a vow here, it's talking about his relationship to God, that he puts God first. He's being God-centered. And he says, I will continue to do this. I will live it out, no matter what I face in life. His first simple response to God is to say thank you. And I'm going to do it through word and deed. Now, when you look at this psalm, the focus on the first half is obvious. Look at what God has done. The second half, because of what is done, the psalmist says, out of my thanks to you, God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to keep you first. And then live it out. Do we do that? Do we keep God first in all things? Are we thankful to God? Now, I asked the follow-up question earlier, why are we thankful to God? You know, spiritually, are you thankful because of verse 8? For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death. Are you thankful to God because of what Jesus has done for you? Is it because you know that God loves you and cares for you? That beautiful picture of every time you pray, God hears you and answers. Even though he never promises to remove you from your suffering, even as the psalmist said, unto death. Because you know that, are you thankful? Do you live a life that says you're committed to keeping your vows to God? You know that you love and follow Jesus. Do you live that out every moment of every day so that others can see it in word and deed? See, is your focus on God? If the focus is on God, then we're thankful and can be thankful in all circumstances. Or has some of that self-centeredness started to creep in for us, where we start to pick and choose when we're thankful and when we're not? See, I think all of us would say in this room, God says we should be thankful. We want to be thankful. I think all of us in this room, I definitely will say this, I could be thankful more. So as we start to close this morning, I just want to draw your attention to three ways in which I think we can grow our thankfulness. See, we like to think of how good we are at things, doing things, don't we? We're good at sport, we're good at education, we're good at work, we're good at whatever it might be. We're good at gaining possessions, gaining power, whatever it might be. We're good at thinking of what we've achieved. But I think what we need to remember, and Kerry has beautifully been sharing this in between and interweaving with the songs this morning, we are the creatures. God is the creator. Everything we achieve, everything we have ultimately comes from Him. And as I shared last week, ultimately it's on loan from Him. So how will we use it? See, when I think we realize it's not about us, it's not about what we achieve, I think it starts to become easier to say thank you. Even if we don't have much, if we know it comes from God, it's easier to say thank you. It's also, I think, at times easier to let things go. You know, we like to cling on to our possessions. We like to cling on to our money. We like to cling on to our time and other things because we think it's so precious to us. But when we remember it's God's and on loan from God, it's much easier to let it go, isn't it? It helps us to grow in thankfulness. Even the smallest breath we take is a blessing from God. The second thing I want to talk briefly about comes from a quote from Dr. Dale Robbins, and they say this: I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems, but I've come to realize they have problems because they complain. See, when we complain, you can't be thankful. So I think part of it is we need to cut back on our complaining. Sometimes we find it very easy to do. Yeah, but where does complaining get us? Complaining doesn't change anything normally. Complaining doesn't make the situation better. It often amplifies our frustration. It spreads discontent and discord. It can even open doors for the devil to attack us in different ways. So growing in thankfulness, remembering that everything we have comes from God and it's His, it's on loan. Growing in thankfulness, less complaining. But more than that, you know, I think when it comes to growing in thankfulness, you know what the first step is? It's a very simple step. Be thankful today about one thing. The first step. You know, when we walk, you take one step and then another step and then another step. If we want to grow in thankfulness, it's actually making a choice today to be thankful about something. What is something going on in your life that you can be thankful for right now and every day? You know, I talked about last week that I think one of the hardest maths we can do is count our blessings. You know, name them one by one. We find that hard to do. But I think if we start to name them, even if we start to write them down occasionally in a journal or something like that and then look back later in life, we see how many blessings God gives us every single day. And just taking those first little steps to say thank you reminds us and helps us to grow in thankfulness. See, Psalm 116 is very simply about saying thank you. He reminds us of how much God has done, that how much God is blessing us every single day, that God knows we struggle with understanding it and living it out, but He reminds us that we need to do it. Every day, today, this week, are you thankful for what God has given you? Do you know why you're thankful? And you give thanks to God. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for everything we have from you. Father, we know it's on loan from you, and we ask that you help us through your Spirit to use it for you and your kingdom. But Lord, help us to realize that we need to be focused on you. It's great to celebrate our own achievements, but again, it reminds us that you're behind it all. Father, help us not to become self-centered with our thankfulness. Help us not to pick and choose when we're thankful or when we're not, but to realize, with the psalmist did, as he put his focus on you, then no matter what he faced, even until death, he could still be thankful. Father, help us in the challenges that we face daily to be able to say the same thing. And we pray for this in your name. Amen.